We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I am Pastor Jeff, and a little under the weather today, fighting off whatever's going around. And I have a wonderful medical provider that helps me out when I get sick. I always tell my kids, I said, I'm on some high-powered experimental Z-Pak. They had to call in the specialist, family nurse practitioner, care cook, and they have hospice on speed dial, and they get a kick out of that when I just kind of make fun. But I'm fighting through, and I wanted to talk to you today about this question. Have you ever felt in your Christian life that God seemed to be a million miles away? I mean, you are going through difficulties in life, and you pray, and it's just like your prayers never get as high as the light bulb. They never even reach the ceiling, much less heaven. And you just feel like God is almost playing hide and seek with you. You remember playing that game as a kid? I don't know if kids play outside like they used to. When I was a kid growing up, we played outside a lot, and with my brothers and sisters. A lot of times we played hide and go seek. And so, you know, if you're it, you count to 50 or 100 or whatever it is, and everybody hides, and then you try and find them. Sometimes it can feel like that with God. You know, we're trying to find him and he seems to be hiding. Well, David wrote a lot of the Psalms. He's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. David is called in scripture a man after God's own heart. I've always been attracted to that statement about the Lord. God said, I have found a man after my own heart. He said that through Samuel the prophet to Saul when he said, the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to a man after my own heart. Well, David was definitely a man who loved God, who had such a passion for the Lord, who wanted to do the Lord's will. Not a perfect man, as we know. He sinned and sinned terribly. But he was a man who really loved the Lord, and God chose him when he was young. We don't know exactly how old he was when Samuel came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as the next king in Israel. We know that his dad didn't even invite him to the feast because he said, well, he's the youngest. Surely you're not going to choose little David. He's taking care of the sheep. And so we kind of surmise that David was maybe 12 years old, something like that. But God said, no, this is the one. You remember the famous passage, the Lord doesn't see as man sees, because Samuel saw Eliab, the oldest son, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. This guy just looks the part. He looks like a king. And the Lord said, don't look on the height of his stature. Don't look on the outside. He said, man looks on the outside, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I didn't choose this one. I chose little David. Why? Because he has a heart for me. And so David anointed king around the age of 12. He defeats Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. He defeats Goliath at probably the age of 15, 16 or so. You had to be 20 years old to be in the army. He wasn't old enough to do that. He's just a kid. And so 15, 16, peach fuzz on his chin. He defeats Goliath. And then Saul takes him and puts him in his army, and David is leading the troops, and then we see him again. He's just, the Lord is with David. But then the song comes out that really is not Saul's favorite. David has slain his thousands, or Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day onward. And he said, what else can he want but the kingdom? And rather than look at David as such a tremendous asset in his kingdom and in his army, I mean, this guy, the Lord is with him, and this guy is something else. Rather than look at that and look at David that way, he looked at David with suspicion, and he spent years trying to kill him. David said to Jonathan, Jonathan was Saul's son, and he was next in line to be king, but Jonathan loved David, and Jonathan knew that God's hand was on David, and he knew that God wanted David to be the king. And David said to Jonathan one day, he said, there is not even a step between me and death. Why is your father trying to kill me? What did I do? Well, he didn't do anything. And God was running him through the gauntlet, so to speak. He had him in the refiner's fire. And David cried out in Psalm 13 about this situation. Psalm 13 is such a great psalm. When God feels a million miles away. It's such a great psalm. And the book of Psalms, I would encourage you to read the book of Psalms, to read at least a few psalms every day, because the Lord gives us the behind-the-curtain scenes of great men of God in the book of Psalms. David is just so raw in the book of Psalms. I preached a sermon series on that one time. I called it Honest to God, because David is just so honest in Psalms. And one of the familiar refrains in Psalms is found in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, how long, O Yahweh, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? God's playing hide and seek in David's summation and in estimation. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. Man, David is in a tough spot, and he asks four questions of the Lord, and they all deal with how long. How long, O Lord? How long am I going to be on the run from Saul? How long am I going to have to hide out in caves? How long will you forget me? Is it going to be forever, Lord? It feels like forever. You know, the promise God gave him as a 12-year-old kid when he anointed him through Samuel the prophet, and he was going to be the next king of Israel, that just seems so far away. And I don't think he said, that's never going to happen. He just felt so forgotten. And he's sharing in Psalm 13 his feelings. You know, it's important to do that with the Lord. It's important to pour out your heart before the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a safe place. He's a safe place to go and to share your heart and share your hurts and share your fears and share your doubts. He's a safe place to go and tell him all that. And David is doing that. And he wants to know how long. Have you noticed when God seems a million miles away that that's one of the questions that comes to your mind? Lord, how long am I going to go through this trial? How long are you going to leave me here? You know, we have trouble waiting on God. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To wait on the Lord. And David said himself in Psalm 27, verse 13, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. We have trouble waiting. And when we're in the waiting room, waiting for God to answer, waiting for God to show up, not understanding why God is not doing in our lives, and we can feel like, you know, God has just forgotten us. That's how David felt. Will you forget me forever? God, you've forgotten what I'm going through. You've forgotten where I am. Lord, you said that I was going to be the next king, but I feel like you've just abandoned me. You know, theologians call this kind of depression the dark night of the soul. R.C. Sproul talked about that, the dark night of the soul. He said it's a depression that is linked to a crisis of faith, a crisis that comes when one senses the absence of God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever asked how long? I've been there before. I think most Christians can relate to Psalm 13. Most Christians can relate to your feelings just being all over the map, and you just don't feel God's presence. You know, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith, not feelings. We walk by faith, not sight. But it's nice when the feelings are there. It's nice when you feel close to the Lord. It's nice when you sense His presence. It's not nice when you don't sense it. Now, here's the truth. God never, He says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's the truth. But, you know, when we're going through the ringer and we're in the dark cave and there's not a step between us and death, as David said, and you're on the run and the fear is just really fired up in your heart. You know, David said, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you and God, whose word I praise. And God, I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? But David didn't say, if I am afraid. He said, when I am afraid. And in Psalm 13, he's afraid. And he's thinking that Saul is going to kill him. And he's trying to trust in the promises of God, but he's having a hard, hard time. And so he asks questions. Hey, you know, it's normal and natural. Maybe you're really going through a hard time in life. Dr. Chris Schroeder is going to be on the program next week. We're going to talk about surviving the holidays, because the holiday time next week is Thanksgiving week, and then we go into Christmas, and lots of people, man, holiday time is difficult time. Why? Because they've lost a loved one, because they're dealing with some serious issues, because they've gone through a divorce. And there's just such pain there. How do you get through the holidays? You know, I talk to people, oh, I just want to get through the holidays. We forget that God wants us to enjoy those times, even if it's a hard time, because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he doesn't leave us and he doesn't forsake us. But it's just, it's good to read from David to know, hey, this guy, who's called a man after God's own heart, he is voicing exactly what I'm feeling. I feel like God has forgotten me. I feel like God has hidden His face from me. And how long, Lord, do I have to take counsel in my soul? How long do I have to live with this sorrow in my heart? You know, in dark times, we can start to question. And then in the dark times, we can start, if we're not careful, we can start to despair and just have sorrow every single day in our hearts. And you wake up in the morning and the depression and the sorrow that is just there, and you just wish it were night. And then at night, you wish it were morning, and you can never seem to find any kind of pleasure and joy. What's the issue there? Well, Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23 is a favorite of most people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you are with me. And the key word, my friend Rich Halcom pointed this out to me years ago, and I've never forgotten it. The key word is through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God doesn't want us to live in the dark, scary valley of the shadow of death, in that sorrow. We're going through the sorrow. As the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. We can't just mourn Moses for the rest of your life, Joshua. Moses is dead, but I'm not dead. The king is dead. Long live the king. God is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. The Lord sat as king at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. And so God's work still moves on. And so we just trust the Lord. And when we're going, when we're experiencing hard times, remember that we're going through that. We're going through that dark valley. We're not going to set up shop there in the dark valley. We're not going to build a house in the dark valley of sorrow and despair. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 42. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. And From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We're looking at Psalm 13 today. We're asking or looking at the question, what do you do when God seems a million miles away? The Lord has something for you in this broadcast. Don't go away. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, welcome back. Let me just say it is Operation Christmas Child time, and the collections are taking place between now and November 20th for the shoeboxes. And let me just encourage you, if you still have time to get involved, you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC for Operation Christmas Child. Find out more. Find out how you can pack a box and bring that to one of the 4,500 drop-off locations around the country. And pray over that box and see God do great and mighty things. We probably won't know this side of heaven how something as simple as a shoebox made such a difference in the life of a child. And as we've had testimonies on American Family Radio this week, it's so cool to see that. And, you know, as we pray and as we do things that maybe don't seem super spiritual, but you're doing them for the Lord, whether then, as Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And God can use us as we do things for His glory and to lift up the name of Jesus. Well, we're talking about Psalm 13 today. When God seems a million miles away. What do you do when God seems far away? As David was hiding out from Saul, on the run from Saul, and he shares his heart and he puts into words what was going on in his heart. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? God, why do you seem to be supporting King Saul and not supporting me? And then he says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I like that verse in the Living Bible where it translates it this way. David says, give me light in the darkness, lest I die. Hey, have you ever felt like you just can't go on? You know, when a person commits suicide, the reason that they do that is because they lose hope. They just say, I can't live with this anymore. I can't do this anymore. You know, when Jack Kevorkian was in the news, you know, the doctor, use that in quotes, who would assist people, assisted suicide. Rush Limbaugh called him Dr. Death. He called him Jack the Dripper because they would call Dr. Kevorkian and say, please kill me. I'm in all this pain and I just can't live any longer. I have this terminal cancer or whatever. And he would he would provide physician-assisted suicide. Oh, what a sick guy that is. But he was obsessed with death. But here's the thing. Those people, why did they call him? Because they said, I just can't do this anymore. I just want to be released from this this prison that I'm in. I just there is no hope for me. And when you lose hope for a brighter tomorrow, then you're ready to throw in the towel. Romans 15:13 is a key verse for every Christian to know. Now may the God of hope. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. It's what God has said you can hope and know confidently that it's going to come true. It's not like hoping that it doesn't rain tomorrow so you can play golf. Hope in the Bible, confident expectation. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing is critical. In believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the God of hope. Well, David was kind of losing hope here. And he says, Lord, give me light in the darkness lest I die. I need to hear from you, God. And then I love what he says, the last two verses of Psalm 13. Psalm 13 is only six verses. But he says this, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me, because he has been so good to me. And so Psalm 13, David is looking at his circumstances. He doesn't understand why God seems to be far off. He doesn't understand why God's not answering him. He doesn't understand why the circumstances don't let up. But then he says, but I have trusted in your hesed, in your loyal love, your loving kindness. Loving kindness in the New American Standard Bible is the translation of the Hebrew word hesed. It's used some 250 times. It's God's faithful, covenant, loyal love. I found a definition for hesed that I really like. It says, giving oneself fully with love and compassion. And so New American Standard puts it as loving kindness together. And Lord, I've trusted in your loving kindness. I've trusted in the fact, God, that you love me. And see, you see a shift in Psalm 13 from the circumstances, from the feelings. And in verses 5 and 6, he goes from feelings to faith. He goes from fixing his eyes on circumstances to fixing his eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, to put it in New Testament language. I have trusted in your loving kindness. God, you do love me. I can trust the fact that your word tells me that you love me. You love me with an everlasting love. You don't love me because I'm lovable. You love me because you chose to love me. And when I'm good, you love me. When I'm doing great, God loves me. And when I'm doing really bad spiritually, I mean, I'm just in the ditch, so to speak, spiritually. God still loves me. His love doesn't change. It's not like, well, I love Jeff a whole lot more when he's really doing well, when he's praying, when he's reading his Bible. I love him a lot more. But if he's missing a quiet time, well, he's in the doghouse with me. I don't love him anymore. It's not like that with God. He loves us no matter what. On your best day, he loves you. On your worst day, he loves you. And you can trust in his loving kindness. And then he says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Hey, no matter what's going on in life, you and I, we can make the choice to rejoice. We can rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, it doesn't say rejoice in circumstances. It says rejoice in the Lord. Circumstances can be terrible. And you're like, hey, I'm not rejoicing in the fact that I'm dying of cancer. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And speaking of that, I have a dear friend, Tom Reeder, who's in his last stages of pancreatic cancer. I just heard from his wife this morning. And he and I have been good friends since high school. And so if the Lord puts that on your heart, pray for Tom and Ashley. Just that God would minister to them in a special way. And their daughter, Ann Florian, is on her way home to be with her dad. But it's getting near the time of his departure. He is coming. And it's hard to rejoice when your loved one is dying. You can't rejoice in the cancer. You can't rejoice in the circumstances. But you can rejoice in the Lord. And that's a choice that we can make by faith. And then he finishes the psalm this way: I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me, because he has been so good to me. He goes from sighing, the first part of this psalm, to verse 6, to singing. I will sing to the Lord because the Lord is so good and he has been so good to me. Now, most of us are familiar with the song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And we need to do that. That's a good song, and it's a good thought. And count what God has done for you. Count how God has blessed you. And don't focus on what you don't have. That makes you ungrateful when you focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. And as you focus on what you do have, and you understand that God doesn't owe you anything, it's all a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. God doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe us health. He doesn't owe us wealth. God gives because he's a good God. Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And so as we ask the Lord, here are my needs. We bring our needs before the Lord. He says, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives to spend it on your pleasures, James chapter 4. And so we bring our needs before the Lord with a right heart. And our prayers are not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I want what you want in my life because you, Lord, are good, and you, Lord, have love for me, special loyal love for me, and you have a plan for me. You know, when we think about rejoicing in salvation, think about salvation. What has the Lord done for you when he saved you? When we talk about salvation, that's being saved. Well, that means that God has forgiven all your sin, past, present, and future. You know, some people have trouble with that. They say, well, I came to Jesus and he forgave all my sin, but what about future sin? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, all your sin was future because your life was future, and he paid it all. It's paid in full. And so all your sins have been paid for, past, present, and future, the moment that you come to Christ. I like what Jesus said to the woman that wept at his feet in Luke 7, the prostitute that wept at his feet, whose sins were many. He said, your sins have been forgiven. Forgiven. Completely forgiven. Not just the slate wiped clean, but the slate wiped clean and broken. And God doesn't record sins against you anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Your sins have been forgiven. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I mean, your reservation is there in heaven, and the Lord keeps that reserved in heaven who are kept by the power of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, and the Lord keeps us. You know, you have these people, and I know there's some people, we had a call in, and somebody sent me a letter the other day and said, you know, I don't believe in this once saved, always saved. I believe that, you know, you can crawl out of the hand of God. Well, if you could lose your salvation, if I could lose my salvation, newsflash, every one of us would lose our salvation. We're not saved by holding on to Jesus. We're saved and kept saved because he holds on to us. We are kept, we are held and guarded by the power of God. And so my sins are forgiven. My name is recorded in heaven. And then he gives me his Holy Spirit to live inside me, to guide me. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. So I'm forgiven. The God of hope lives inside of me, the God who can do anything, and God does have a plan for my life. He wants to use me For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hey, we can rejoice in our salvation, and we need to take the time to think about all that God has for us. The Bible says, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. I remember praying with a man. He had prayed to receive Christ in my office. He was terminally ill, and it was a couple months later, and I went to his bedside. The day that he passed away, I went there in the morning. He passed away in the afternoon, and I remember just praying over him, and I was talking to him. I don't know if he could hear me or not, but I just said, you know, Rowan, I said, you're getting ready to meet the Lord. You're getting ready to go to heaven, your great reward. And I said, there's a part of me, and I said this in, you know, in a sanctified way, but there's a part of me that is jealous because of what you're getting ready to step into. Your race is over, and you're getting ready to step into the glory of God and heaven, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And he did pass away just later that day, and the Lord came and took him to glory. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, this is the promise that he himself has made to us. The God who cannot lie has made us a promise. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation, he makes us the promise of eternal life. Eternal life never ends. Eternal life, you know, it doesn't last for 5 years and then goes away. It doesn't last for 10 years and then goes away. It lasts for all eternity. And every single person is going to live forever, either in heaven with the Lord or in hell without him. And every single person is going to receive what they wanted in life. For those who didn't want the Lord, he will grant their request. You didn't want me? You wanted your will, not my will? Okay. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I give you what you want, as you wish, to quote a line from The Princess Bride. Those who want the Lord, those who gave their hearts and lives to him, he says, I will give you what you asked for. You know, I love the last invitation in Romans chapter 22. I am not somebody that believes in limited atonement. I don't believe in irresistible grace. I don't believe in unconditional election. I look at the invitation that the Lord gives in Revelation 22, right before the end of the scripture, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you're going through a dark night of the soul, if God seems a million miles away, call in. I just want to encourage you. God is the God of hope. God wants to do great and mighty things in your life, and God wants to teach you through these hard times. And you have brothers and sisters here listening on the radio who want to pray for you. So don't hesitate to call in. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we'll take your call. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We've been talking about what to do when God seems a million miles away from Psalm 13. David was having what theologians like to call a dark night of the soul, a depression that's linked to a crisis of faith. And if you live the Christian life long enough, you will run into those dark nights of the soul. You'll run into when everything goes wrong and you pray and it doesn't seem like God is listening, and you ask God for his closeness and you can't feel his closeness. when you have to walk by faith and not by sight and not by feelings. We like feelings. There's nothing wrong with feelings. God created feelings, but you can't trust feelings. You have to trust the Lord. Well, we're opening the phone lines to take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have first-time caller Kev on the line from Louisiana. Kev, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
So, I just heard you say on the radio that there's some people, it seems to me, rather, from what you said, that some people think that we have the choice to be alive with God for eternity or to be alive in torment. And then other people say, well, no, you're already selected. I think it's the Calvinists who say, you know, you're destined to go one place or the other, and if your card is punched, good. If it's not, well, so sorry.
You're right.
And my question is, it doesn't make sense to me that God would predetermine. There's two things that don't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me that God would predetermine people to suffer in hell without any opportunity to choose him and choose against them. And what else doesn't make sense to me is, how is it that those that don't choose God wind up alive for eternity in torment when the Bible calls that the second death? But death was the opposite of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. Well, the Bible uses that as a term that's more than just the opposite of life. It is, Jesus came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. So death is the opposite of that. Doesn't mean that you don't exist, but it means you exist in perpetual death. You know, Jesus said, don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill both the body and the soul in hell, where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. And so, Kev, I agree with you. I mean, I don't see where that is consistent with the character and nature of God. I am not a Calvinist. I have lots of Calvinist friends, and I admire them, and I learn from them. But when it comes to this idea that we have nothing to do with responding to Jesus, it's just that God chooses us based on nothing about us, that doesn't make sense to me, because then I heard Adrian Rogers say this one time. He said, if God wanted me to go to hell, then I would want to go there because I want to please God. But God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He's not willing, the Bible says, for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, if he's not willing for any to perish, and he's the one who determines who perishes and who doesn't, then that just seems to be contradictory. But if he offers salvation, just like the invitation in Revelation 22:17, if he offers and some respond and some don't, well, that's different. Now, God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning, so he can predestine based on his knowledge. And so, and the scripture says those who receive Christ are predestined for heaven. It never says anybody is predestined for hell. So I just see it as anyone can be saved. The offer is to whosoever will. Whosoever will may come. And people who ignore Christ, reject Christ, they're missing out. And the Lord, remember this too, Kev. I think this is important. So people say, well, what about the person that's never heard about Jesus? God knows everything. He knows what everyone would do given the circumstances. He knows what that person would do if they were confronted with the gospel. And the Bible says that judgment is based on not so much on sin committed, but on light rejected. And so when someone responds to the light, the little bit of light that he has, when he responds to the light, God gives him more light. And the Lord wants to save. So as Debbie and I talked yesterday, we hear about Muslims having dreams about Jesus and coming to Christ because of dreams about Jesus. And the Lord leads them as they respond to the little bit of light that they get. The Lord gives them more light into a saving knowledge of Him. So I'm with you. I think you and I track together on that. So I appreciate you calling in, and that's a good question. God bless you. Well, we have Enrique from Louisiana. Enrique, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
My question to you is this. Do angels have feelings like we do, like humans? In other words, I'm referring to this because of Lucifer. The angel of light, when he rebelled against God, do angels move out of command from our Lord Jesus, or they move because of their own accord? I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Yeah, I understand. So the Bible does say that there was a revolt in heaven, Revelation chapter 12, and the Lucifer led the revolt. He wanted to be like God. Isaiah chapter 14, I will make myself like the Most High. He led a third of the angels in the revolt. And it seems to, reading between the lines, it seems to indicate once that decision was made, then everything was fixed. So two-thirds of the angels stayed faithful to the Lord, and a third went with Lucifer to rebel against God. So they're fixed in their fallen state, and the holy angels are fixed in their holy state. And as far as feelings go, I've never really thought about it like that. I don't think angels can be destroyed, but obviously angels can feel pain because the devil is going to be tormented forever and ever. The Bible says that in Revelation chapter 20. So he is going to be able to feel pain. The demons in Mark chapter 5, they pleaded with the Lord, don't send us to the abyss. Don't send us to the bottomless pit. They didn't want to go there. So I think there is a sense of that and pain that they can feel. But angels can't be destroyed, because what God creates as far as living creatures and beings in the angelic realm and in the human realm. We last forever. And, you know, Adrian used to say this. I loved it. He was talking about atheists. He said, don't get the idea that you can pull the dirt up over your face and hide from God once you die. You won't. You are going to have to meet God. And as Paul said in Acts chapter 17, he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And because God raised Jesus from the dead, that means God is going to raise you from the dead one day. And you are going to have to appear before God. And for an atheist, the God you refuse to acknowledge, you're going to have to appear before him one day and hear him say those terrible, horrible words, "Not my will, but yours be done. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So I appreciate that question, and I hope I answered it to your satisfaction.
Because in other parts of the Bible said that the angels rejoice when a person is saved.
Yes. Yes.
Now, do they have physical needs like we do, like they eat and stuff like that?
Good question. The Bible doesn't really say. There is a psalm, I think it's Psalm 78, that talks about manna. It says, men did eat the bread of angels. So that might just be poetic, or perhaps... I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that they're ministering spirits sent to render aid to those who are being saved, Hebrews chapter 1. But the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about the day-to-day activities of angels. You know, they're angels that are beholding the face of the Lord, and the angels around the throne that day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." But as far as they, you know, I don't think angels ever sleep. It doesn't indicate that. And so they're there to attend to the Lord and do his will, whatever he needs. And they move at the speed of sound, and they never, you know, they never tell him, "No, I'm not doing that." They always obey his voice. And so it's amazing when you think about salvation. it seems like from our perspective, it would be a lot better for God to send angels to do it than to send people, because people can be faithless. Angels aren't faithless. But here's the thing. There's a song that says, angels never knew the joy that my salvation brings. Angels don't know about God's grace because they've never sinned, the holy angels. They've never sinned and been redeemed. So they can't speak of redemption from a first person experience. They can't testify to the Lord, this is what he did for me. And so God gives that to believers. But God bless you, brother. Those are good questions. Well, we have Mark on the line from Texas. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Shree. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to share something based on the previous caller, Enrique, talking about feelings. Well, as humans, obviously, we feel very strongly. And I had an experience about 12 or 13 years ago. I was going through a hard time in my marriage. And when you were saying about when God feels a million miles away, well, at that time, I was just coming back into the faith, and I started praying. And I was actually running because that's what I did back then. I loved to run. And so I was praying and I was, you know, asking God for help. And I look up and I see a falling star. Like, I'd never seen a falling star in my life. And it was God speaking to me from a million miles away saying, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk you through this. And he did. He really did. Like, not that day, but over the process of time. I'll never forget that. And that's how God can speak sometimes. So if anyone's going through something really hard right now, just look up. I'm not saying you'll see a falling star, but or a shooting star, but you might, you know, God might speak to you in a way that you would have never thought before.
Amen. That's a great word. I have a friend of mine, Jana Mayo, that she calls those God winks. When God does something special like that, it's just his reminder that, hey, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I have this under control. And the Lord is faithful to do that. You know, when Paul was going through the tumultuous sea in the book of Acts going to Rome, the Lord sent his angel to speak to him and said, don't be afraid, Paul. And even your spiritual giant like Paul needed to hear that. You know, you only tell people don't be afraid if they're afraid. And so don't be afraid, Paul. I'm going to bring you through. And so he needed that word. And you and I need that too. And so great testimony, Mark. Thank you for sharing that. We have Rachel on the line from Texas. Rachel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Paul. Thank you. Jeff, thank you for taking my call. I would say I'm in despair because I'm in a terrible situation. We're about ready to be evicted because we can't pay our rent. And we lost our home a few years ago, and things have just not gotten better, and my marriage is in a terrible shape. And I just really, really am struggling with my faith.
I'm so sorry, Rachel. Well, let me encourage you this way. So Psalm 13 is a good psalm, and Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And just to get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, here's where I am. Here's where I'm struggling, and here's what I have doubts about, and where my fears are, and where my frustrations are. And I think it's even permissible to say, God, I feel like you've just dumped me, and I know it's not true. I know in my heart that that's not true, but that's how I feel. Now you got to remember, you can't walk by feelings. You have to walk by faith. And so you have to turn the corner as David did in Psalm 13. But I have trusted in the loving kindness of God. I always tell people this, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. And so you have to just say, I know God is good and I know he loves me. And I may not understand the circumstances that I'm going through, but that doesn't change the fact that God is good and God loves me. And Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good to those who love him. And so, Rachel, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for Rachel. I thank you that you love her. And Father, that she looks to you and she doesn't understand and she's in a Psalm 13 experience. Help her to turn that corner into, but I have trusted in the loving kindness of the Lord, and I shall rejoice in your salvation, and I will sing because God has been good to me. Help her to get there, Lord. And Father, provide for her needs. Provide for the needs of her family. Show yourself as the God who's mighty and strong. And wrap your arms of love around her. Bring a Christian into her life today that could help her and encourage her and make a difference in her life. Lord, we trust you and we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Go out this day, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Speak the truth in love, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.